You're listening to The Zen Courses Show, episode 50, the Big 5-0. Welcome to The Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, The Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 50. I cannot believe it. It has been 50 episodes. This is crazy. It's been a great year of podcasting, interviewing course creators. And as a celebration of reaching 50 episodes, I decided to do a little flashback to highlight the top 8 things that I have learned over the past year of talking with course creators. So before we get into that, just a quick update on what is going on with Zen Courses and with me. So I just wrapped up the first live run of my flagship course, Jumpstart Your Course, and I converted it into a live program. So it's 6 weeks of live training and group sessions and self-paced content to help you jumpstart your course. A live program is definitely more involved than a self-paced course. And this course actually used to be self-paced, so I will be sharing, all of that is to say, I'll be sharing my takeaways of the differences and what I learned on the blog next week. So definitely be sure to stay tuned for that. Also, if you want to learn more about Jumpstart Your Course, you can head to get.zencourses.co/JYC waitlist. Again, that's get.zencourses.co/JYC waitlist. And I will be sure to put that link in the show notes so that you don't have to remember it throughout the entire episode. All right, one more quick update. This is about you. So this is the time when a lot of us start to lose sight of our goals. The weather warms up, we want to go outside, take vacations, etc. And that is great. Don't think that I'm not an advocate of taking time. But I also don't want you to let your goals fall to the wayside. And I know that, you know, me personally, I was definitely feeling sluggish. What works for me is to take a few days. And for me, I do a juice fast or a cleanse and just get my head back in the game. So you don't have to do that. But whatever works for you, take some time and get back, because creating an online course and building an online business takes consistent effort. And anyone who tells you otherwise is not giving you the real deal. Okay, wanted to do something a little special for episode 50. So we're going to talk about, or I'm going to share, the top 8 episodes over the past year. So these episodes are ones that resonated not just with me, but resonated with listeners. These are some of the most popular episodes. And some of them are just episodes where I walked away thinking, wow, I took a lot from that. So let's jump into it. Number one, without a doubt, has to be my interview with Sarah Selecki. If you're not familiar with Sarah, she has a course called Story is the State of Mind. She teaches writers how to write their first novel or work. And the biggest takeaway from chatting with Sarah is how she approaches teaching, how she focuses so intently on teaching for transformation. And ultimately, that's our job as course creators, is to help your learners have a transformation. Sarah and I had a really deep moment of just talking about helping to guide learners through the fear, through the doubts, through the resistance, really, to get to that moment of transformation. Take a listen.
So I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, so just
Just full disclosure, I studied creative writing when I was in college. I am a writer. I haven't written regularly. And so, but I know the struggles of being a writer. How do you, I guess my question is, are you teaching writing or are you teaching something different? Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. Janelle, I'm teaching both. I mean, that's why I became a teacher, because I didn't want to be learning the something else in a way that wasn't connected to my own writing. And when I studied writing and got my MFA, I wasn't learning enough of the something else to put it with my writing. And I wanted both, because it is a big journey. I mean, that struggle is bit, like finding surrender on the page requires a certain amount of surrender of the person. And that's like a big life lesson that, you know, learning about how to structure your dialogue won't teach you necessarily. Yeah. But you can't write amazing literature if you don't know how to write dialogue well. You know, you need both.
And it's so, you know, for me, it's such a scary process. Mm. And I wonder, how have you been able to successfully guide people through the fear?
Mm-hmm. Well, I lead people back to their love of writing first. Because if you feel the love, like if you think about it as a relationship, which is why I always think about it as a relationship, I mean, going out with someone, getting married, like committing to a relationship is terrifying because you have there's no guarantees, but the love brings you there. So if you love writing, it's worth being scared.
Yeah.
So the love is really, really important. Like strengthening that connection, whether you write something good or bad, whether it ever gets published or not, whether people criticize it or adore it, it doesn't matter because it's yours and you love it. That's the diamond inside. Then you can learn all that other stuff, but it's just like cool stuff you get to do with your writing. You know, you get to play with character. You get to explore what kinds of dialogue, like do you use quotation marks or not use quotation marks? What does that do to my craft? What if I change this point of view to first person? Well, if I change it to third person, what does that do to it? All of that stuff is just fun if you love writing and you're strong in your love, you know?
Number 2 is Bob Reynolds, episode 47. Bob is a saxophonist. He is just amazing on the saxophone. He's played with jazz bands, pop bands, whatever, you name it, John Mayer. And he also teaches people how to learn to play the saxophone. And when we got to talking, one of the things that stuck out for me is he says he doesn't focus on outcomes when it comes to teaching something artistic. When it comes to teaching people music, he focuses on the process, not the outcomes. Because especially with creative and artistic subjects, the process is what is going to stick. If you can get people to master the process, then they can take that and do it in any environment. And that was eye-opening for me because I hadn't thought about the different ways of teaching if you're talking about creatives or something artistic like music or painting, even taking it back to Sarah where she teaches writers. And it's so true. In those situations, in those types of courses, you don't just want to focus on the outcome. You need to show people how to get there. You need to focus on the process. Take a listen. So let me ask, because, you know, we've talked about the different learning levels, but what would you say, and this might be a little bit hard to answer, but what would you say for people who sign up for your school? What is the one thing? What is the goal? What is the outcome that they're trying to achieve? Let's say they go through all of your lessons. What should they be able to do?
My goal would be that let's say, I think maybe ideally it would be like if you spent 2 years with me, I have to be careful how I say this. I want to get the point across, so I'll probably have to come back and couch it at the end. But my goal would be like if you spent 2 years with me, you never need a teacher again. Now, that's a sort of ridiculous statement because you're always going to have teachers, and like I'm a teacher, but I'm a lifelong student. Like, I don't mean that. I just mean that, like, I believe that there's what my goal is to teach you how to be your own best teacher. A lot of people, what they're struggling with is they're unaware. They don't know what they should be listening for, what they should be doing. So I want to teach people, it's not just the fundamentals, but like how to be aware of what the fundamentals are and how they relate to the things they want to do. When people are reaching out to me, the things they want to do, nobody's ever saying, Bob, I really just want to be able to play an A flat major scale in thirds. They're not saying that. They're saying, I feel like I understand some chords in theory, but I just can't seem to make music out of it. I can't play as fast as I want, or how come my sound just doesn't sound like the players I want to sound like, or I just really struggle at playing over this song. I can't remember tunes. I mean, they're all outcomes. And yeah. So what I'm trying to help people do is learn the tools and the process that will serve them to get to any and all of these outcomes as they go along. But the idea is that you don't, it's like you don't train for the outcome. You train for the process. The process is everything.
All right. So number three, I absolutely love this lady, everything she stands for. Courtney Sanders from Think and Grow Chick. If you're not familiar with Courtney, what are you waiting for? You need to check her out at thinkandgrowchick.com. One of the key things that she talks, really the whole episode was about investing in your growth. Courtney says, don't be afraid to invest in your growth. You need to be willing to invest in your growth because contrary to popular belief, there are a lot of people online who will say you can start an online business with no budget. That is not true. If anyone tells you that, they're not giving you the full story. I guarantee you that they have spent money on their business. In order to get from zero to the next level, it's going to require investment. So if you want to have that growth, you need to be willing to invest in it. Invest in yourself. And the biggest thing that you're going to invest in is education. Listen up to what Courtney has to say about it.
I felt that this was really important. I call it knowing when to spend and knowing when to save. Mm-hmm. And this is big because hands down, you're going to have to invest in your business, period. If you want to start an online business, do not fall into the trap that so many people fall into, which is because, quote unquote, it's free, meaning I can set up a website for free or for very inexpensively, and because social media is free, that it's not going to cost me anything to, we won't even talk about how much it costs to run an online business, but it's not going to cost me anything in terms of upfront outlay to get the business started. And that's simply not true. It's going to cost you significantly less than if you're trying to start a brick and mortar business or some huge business where you need, you know, VCs or angel investors or whatever. So it's very approachable in that, yes, you can start it via the extra money you have from your salary, but it is going to require investments. That said, because that's such a hot buzzword, and you know, as we're recording this, it's January, so it'll be the month of invest in yourself and, you know, invest in your personal development, and you know, so like, what is actually an investment and what is an investment for you? So helping people understand the kinds of investments that are general based on the kind of business that you have, and then understanding the kind of investments you need to make, not just for your unique business model, but where you are in the process. And that is so huge because nothing breaks my heart more than seeing people pay all this money, you know, for coaches or this one-on-one work, or, you know, paying gobs of money, and they're like not getting any results. And they're like, what's the problem? And it's, well, so-and-so did it or paid this person or joined this group program and they had, you know, phenomenal results. So I, you know, maxed out the credit card and did all this stuff. And why didn't it work for me? And it was, you know, you have to have the discernment to understand you don't have the infrastructure yet in your business in order to convert that knowledge into money that would make sense for that level of investment. So it's not so much this is a bad investment, or you shouldn't, you know, I've paid high price coaches before, but I didn't do that until I was at a point in my business where it made sense. And I knew that I had the infrastructure to convert that information into actual revenue. And
okay,
a lot of,
okay. Time out, Courtney, say that one more time. That is so beautiful. And I don't think anyone has ever said that. It's something that I've thought about, but no one has ever said that on the show. Say that for me one more time. People need to hear this.
Okay. So I'm not mad, you know, at high price coaches, or, you know, if that's an investment that you will want to make, I have certainly done that, but I did not do that until I was at a point in my business where I had the infrastructure to convert the knowledge I was going to receive from that person into actual revenue.
Great insights from Courtney Sanders. That is episode 43. On to number 4. This is episode 44 with Caleb Pike. If you don't know about Caleb, you can find him at dslrvideoshooter.com. So Caleb is the go-to video guy. He is someone that I always seek out when I have questions about video or equipment. One of the things that Caleb said in our interview that really stuck out to me was just the strength of YouTube. So he does all of his marketing on YouTube, and it makes sense for him because he does a lot of video content. But what I didn't know that he put me onto is that YouTube is the second largest search engine. So if you are looking for a great way to market, consider YouTube. And the other thing that Caleb said, and this is really the meat of it, the reason why he's in this list, is he said, you know, stop listening to everyone who tells you to be everywhere at once. Pick one marketing channel and focus on it and do that really well. And yeah, if you want to, once you get leverage there, you can branch out, but stop trying to do everything at once. You're just going to burn out.
It hasn't been until the last couple of years that I really wanted to pursue YouTube. So I've always had my videos there, but I would just like put a link in the description, like for more information, go to my website. And I would always share the website link. Recently, I've really switched over to YouTube is the source. And my website is just a distribution, you know, method. So yeah, I know that I really freaks that. Bloggers out, and people are like, dude, you got to keep people on your website. But it's just a different medium.
Well, I want to talk about that because I am just completely in awe of people who do YouTube and do it well. And I know that just from, you know, reading and seeing other people on it, YouTube is like the second largest search engine, right? And I do it all the time. Like if I want to learn something, I go to YouTube and enter in some, you know, what I'm looking for. So how has YouTube changed your business? Let's start there.
Sure. In a couple ways, I made a decision to stop. I hated blogging. I enjoyed creating detailed information that would help people. But video's always been my thing. And in my niche, a big thing is, you know, affiliates. And when, oh man, heaven forbid you're on Twitter when Black Friday goes down. It's just everyone's trying to dish out Amazon and B&H links and, you know, make their biggest sales month of the year or whatever. I just got so tired of every time there was a link, I felt obligated to keep up and share that deal. And keep up with the news. That was a whole nother thing in the last several years. There's just so much stuff coming out, especially in the camera department with Sony, like producing a new camera every 5 minutes. And I just got so bogged down, and my real passion was tutorials and, you know, meaningful reviews. So I just decided to completely cut that out. So I just cold turkey stopped doing any of that. And you'll notice on my website, every single post is a video. There's no more just blog content, completely committing to video as a medium. And that helps because it really produced an audience that wanted to sit back and, you know, enjoy the ride versus me trying to create SEO clickbaitable, you know, content. And people will find you, especially like you said, on YouTube. I don't even read manuals when I get something. I just go straight to YouTube. I got a new thermostat and just, you know, jumped on YouTube and figured it out. So that was huge, building a visual audience versus just trying to get people to find me on Google. And that's still important. But yeah, that was a big part.
So check out episode 44 with Caleb Pike. If you want to learn more about using YouTube to market and just general video stuff, you're going to love this one. All right, on to number 5. We're getting down to the final 3. Number 5 is Tara Gentile, episode 26. Tara's message is about listening to your audience. And it might sound obvious, but a lot of us as online business builders and online course creators, we get so caught up in trying to do everything, trying to market everywhere, trying to create content, trying to do everything. And Tara wanted to share with us that really the one thing that you need to do above all else is to listen. Listen to your audience, listen to their needs, and use that information to guide your business efforts. Everything that you create needs to come from a pain point or problem that your audience has, and you only discover that through listening. So let's listen to what Tara has to say.
Because e-courses are so prevalent now, people get into a business thinking, I'm just going to create an e-course and then I'll make a lot of money. And that's not how it works. It's not that you can't start with an e-course, but really what you need to start with is an audience. And one of the easiest ways to build building an audience generally takes time. And one of the easiest ways to make money while you're building an audience is to offer services to actually deal with people one-to-one. And I think people think that that's like a cop-out somehow, that this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be leveraging my time and making a course. But the problem with making a course and not having ever worked with someone or having, you know, vast amounts of corporate or professional or, you know, educational experience in an area, so you don't actually know what people want. You don't know what their roadblocks are. You don't know what their obstacles are. And so you spend all this time and money and energy on creating a course that nobody wants and that isn't useful to people and that isn't user-friendly. And so that's another thing that I've seen really change that I am actively campaigning against.
I'm so glad you said that because I literally wrote about that maybe about a month ago.
Oh, great.
Because I noticed the same thing. And you know, I just can't help but be real. I think that, yes, part of it is people want to jump into making a course, but also it's about like doing the work and realizing that we have to do the work. You have to get to know your audience. So that is Tara's message for us. Again, episode 26. Check it out. If you really want to learn how to grow your audience in a very intentional and intimate way, instead of just blasting messages out, that episode is going to be gold for you. Next up, we have Darlene Hildebrandt. This is episode 3 of the podcast. Darlene is... I know Darlene from Fizzle. I'm chuckling because we've had a lot of great conversations back and forth. I should take a step back and say Darlene is a photographer, and she has been in the photography business for, I think, 25 years. She, a few years ago, decided to take her business online. And that involved, after building her audience, that involved creating a course. And one of the things, one of the messages that Darlene has for you is to start small. Just get started. Your first course won't be perfect, and that's okay. Just focus on creating an MVP, a minimum viable product, and then tweak and iterate from there. Let's listen to what Darlene has to say about it.
The first course that I did, which you actually helped me sort of do an overhaul of, I still haven't redone it, but we actually progressed and did a second one, but a lot of what you and I talked about, I incorporated into the new one. And so how I took the classes was I used the same sort of material and things that I would have demonstrated in like a PowerPoint show in the classroom, did something similar in my first class, and I literally did a webinar with about 15 live students and recorded it, and that became my class. So that was my the sort of my lowest entry point into making the course. It was the easiest for me to do to get started, and we started selling it. And surprisingly enough, we still sell them.
Yeah.
We're actually doing a summer sale right now, and the first three sales was that course. So, and people are still sending us feedback that they like it. So yeah. Even though it's not, you know, something that I am super proud of and I want to redo it, people still find value in it.
Yes.
So then on our second course, I merged with another fellow and we actually put two of our courses together into one. So it's two instructors. I teach a course on available light and he teaches one using flash. And we each taught a portion, which is our own strengths. And we drew from our outlines that are our classroom classes and taking into account that, you know, we needed to expand on things and demonstrate. For this one, we did hire a video crew and invested a fair bit of money producing this course. But partly I knew that it was going to do well because it was a topic that my online readership, which I'd been developing for 3 years already, was always asking for. So it was something right. that was a common request.
So I'm going to stop you right there because for anyone listening, you just mentioned three key things. So the first, okay. I mean, they are great, not just for online courses, but for online business in general, of just starting somewhere. You know, what we hear, a minimal viable product, getting something out there, which was your first course, which is 4 weeks to better photography.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be perfect. As long as the content is there and it's valuable and it's helping people, then that is a great first step. And then the second thing you mentioned was then you learned what, you know, from some of the challenges and what worked, and you were able to put in more investment for your second course. And the third thing that I love that you said is you knew what your audience wanted, which is so key. And we put a lot of effort into building something. So thank you for sharing those three tips. I just had to stop you there because I was like, wow, she just shared a lot. Okay.
Thanks. Actually, if I could touch on the minimum yeah. viable product thing, because I tend to just jump into things and figure it out as I go. So I'm a master of doing that. And things that I have no clue how to do, like, for example, my first ever interview, I decided I'm going to interview photographers. Mm-hmm. And so my first ever interview was a guy by the name of Trey Radcliffe, who happens to have like 6 million followers or whatever it is on Google Plus. And he's got a massive audience and following. And he's a fairly, you know, important guy and a major guy, and people know who he is. And so rather than start with somebody small, I just went right there. Mm-hmm. And I had never done an interview before. Didn't know what to ask, was nervous as all get out, didn't know the platforms to use. You know, we did it as a Google Hangout and it was fine,
yeah.
you know, but I just sort of figured it out as I went. So I asked him and he said yes. And then I was like, oh, crap, I got to do this thing now.
Yeah, so, definitely.
I highly recommend that for anybody that has this fear of I need to make it perfect. Because I don't know, you've probably heard this before too. People that have been in business for a while and have these amazing products, they will all tell you the same thing. Their first one sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for number 7. Episode 7 with Emma DJ Shorty Holmes. The big takeaways from Emma's episode are to just stop comparing yourself to others. Emma shared how she struggled with just feeling like she wasn't enough, feeling like no one was going to care about her course and no one was going to buy it and all of that good stuff that we all go through, or not so good stuff that we go through. Let's hear Emma's story.
So let's talk about going back to that place where you're like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to teach people. What were some of your fears and initial obstacles while you were starting out?
Okay, I'll be super honest. I can remember the day I decided, it's like back in, I think, 2008, 2009. So it took me a while to build up to it.
Yeah.
But DJ Qbert, who's like the most amazing scratch DJ. Yeah,
he's crazy.
Then he opened this school and I was like, wow, like why would I open a school? Like why would anyone want to learn from me? Like really negative. When they could learn with Qbert, who's like the absolute master. So there was that kind of comparing myself and the whole valuing
yeah.
what you do, realizing that actually there's space for everybody. Like if 100 more DJ schools opened, it would be cool because everyone teaches differently. Everyone has a different style. So that was kind of the initial thing. And then I got over that pretty quickly and carried on making tutorials. But it was more the kind of, how am I actually going to pull this off technically with what I've got, the resources I have. We didn't have a like budget to hire a developer. So there's actually a first like round iteration of School of Scratch, which was called the Scratchy 100, because I wanted to get 100 people. That was my goal. And it was called Scratch School Studio Scratches, Scratch Inspiration Club or something. And it was like $10 a month. And people signed up. So that was like my first kind of test into the world of membership site.
All right. So number 8, the final episode on the list, is someone who's become a friend. I have a lot of respect for him. And this is Brent Weaver. This is episode 25 with Brent Weaver from YouGurus. If you're not familiar with YouGurus, they help web professionals and web agencies to grow their business. Brent and I, he's another one that I've known for a few years, and we just never got a chance to connect. And finally, we were able to sit down and I was able to interview him. And I wanted to interview Brent because, hands down, I think when it comes to teaching web professionals how to grow their business, that he and his organization, YouGurus, they go above and beyond. So I wanted to really learn what it is that, you know, he thinks about when he's creating courses and what his mission is. So what Brent shared is, you know, one of the takeaways, overarching takeaways, is if you want deep learning and student success, you have to go deep with your students. There's no other way. You have to invest in your course content, take time to figure out what's working and what's not, make adjustments. Ultimately, if your students aren't succeeding, can you really call your course a success?
Yeah, so totally. A couple of things that I did before creating the Web Design Sales Kit. You know, so with BC Gurus, we had asked that question to those web professionals for a couple of years, which is, you know, what keeps you up at night? What's your greatest challenge? Right. So I had been collecting those responses and building material for BC Gurus on those questions for probably 2 to 3 years. So by the time Web Design Sales Kit came along, it almost seemed like a natural transition for me. I was like, here's a big problem that exists, right? People can't get enough for the projects that they're working on. They don't know how to sell. And so we kind of went there first. A couple other things that I did before Web Design Sales Kit was I took on some customers. I basically did some deep customer development where I worked with maybe 6 web professionals on a week by week level. And we just met every week. What are your greatest challenges? What's working for you this week? What's not? What are the obstacles you're faced with? How do we overcome those? So I did that with 6 web professionals for 6 months every week. So that took up about an hour a week per web pro. That was pure customer development. I literally didn't even charge for that. So it was just figuring out kind of what is my customer's worldview and what's going on in their world, right? And then just building all those problems, building those solutions, testing solutions with them, trying to see what works, what doesn't. And then eventually that, you know, led me to be able to map out a full course, without having, you know, it's like you can, I feel like anybody, even if they don't have the experience doing something can kind of create a course. But the question is always, does this actually work?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, does this, like, and not just work for you, but work for others, right?
Like,
So like that's a challenge. And I think there's so many courses out there right now. And yeah, I don't know if people are doing that, right?
And that, my friends, is the highlight of a year of interviewing successful online course creators. I want you to listen again and again and let this information resonate with you. You can build your business your way. Let me say that again. You can build your business your own way. You can create profitable, high-value online courses. Yes, it's going to take work and commitment, but you know that. So just focus on getting started. Speaking of getting started, if you want help, I invite you to join the Zen Courses newsletter, where I share online course tips, tools, and insights every Tuesday and Thursday. You can sign up at zencourses.co/newsletter One more time, that's zencourses.co/newsletter. Also, I've mentioned the show notes a few times throughout this episode. If you're looking for the show notes, you'll find them at zencourses.co/050 for episode 50. Once again, that is zencourses.co/050 for episode 50. You'll find all of the links to the shows and the websites of everyone I've mentioned in this episode. All right, it is that time. I hope that this episode was helpful and made you think about things differently, inspired you to get started if you haven't. And if you have gotten started and you're feeling overwhelmed, I hope that this episode inspired you or motivated you and let you know that you can build your business your own way. It's going to take time. There aren't overnight success stories with online courses. It takes time. You just have to commit to it and get started and continue to learn and make adjustments. My name is Janelle Allen, and this has been the Zen Courses Show. Thank you for lending me your ears for another episode. I will see you next time.